This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, PSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone!
Swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
What's up? Welcome back to Play Tessie. It is episode 194. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Apple, Spotify, Odyssey app, subscribe. Rate 5 stars, leave a comment. Find us on YouTube on the WEEI channel. You can find the Play Tessie playlist there. Has all of our videos or our episodes in video form. Subscribe to WEEI, hit the thumbs up on the videos, and then find us on the socials at Play Tessie everywhere. Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Here with Sammy. Pat's here too. It's Gordo here. Since we last jumped on the mic, a lot of good. Last time we actually sat in front of these mics, they were coming off yet another loss, 4 losses in a row, but they extended Garrett Crochet. And we went into that. We talked all about that. It kind of turned the vibes around. But in the games, you know, Devers was striking out every time he stepped up to the plate. Team was 1-4. Since then, they've won back-to-back games, and they've extended Christian Campbell, which is freaking terrific. And if you've watched the games, you know that having that guy under your control for 10 years is massive. But the truth is, like, it's just crazy how just a game or two or a transaction or two, or in this case, both, can change the emotions of everything. Because, you know, after that Monday game, it wasn't like, and I can only speak for myself. I know there's a lot of people out there that were like panicking for the season. I was not panicking for the season. I was definitely down about what was happening in the games. And my mindset was like, don't keep losing and dig yourself a hole that you can't get out of. Like, we need to see Devers and Casas and Story and even guys like Rafaela and Wong. Like, we need to see these guys that are struggling pick it up. But those losses, like, how much they hurt, even in the span of a 162 game season, they still hurt. But that's what makes winning a couple of games and winning a series against the Orioles, who those wins are going to be important. Taking 2 out of 3 from the Orioles is important. And, you know, that 1-4 start makes those games, makes that series win. It makes it feel a little bit better, because the 1-4 start was a quick reminder to everyone that, yeah, like, we like the way the Red Sox look on paper. But as we've seen plenty of times in the last decade, cough, cough, 2011 and 2019, being the best on paper doesn't mean anything. You got to go out there and do it. And dare I say, on the back of Christian Campbell, maybe, I guess, on the backs of Christian Campbell and Garrett Crochet for a couple of games there, they've done it.
Yeah, you know what makes it even sweeter is I feel like opening day would be great no matter what. Sorry, the home opener, to be clear. Home opener would be great no matter what. as we approach Friday, as you're listening, actually. But two wins in a row to kind of stop the panic, the totally unwarranted panic, five games out of 162 people. Come on, let's act like we've been here before. But it's really nice that they got two wins against the Orioles. Like you said, Gordo, makes it even better, division opponent. Not to mention, those are two of their three best starting pitchers. And I know they don't have the greatest staff of all time, but Zach Eflin, never an easy win, especially for a team like the Red Sox. The Red Sox had a lot of bad at-bats, a lot of strikeouts. And you normally, when that happens, the plan would be, and this is very general, get ahead in the count, 1-0. Zach Eflin does not allow that. So I was a little bit worried going into that game against Eflin just because I could just see him like the Red Sox trying to get ahead in the count and it backfires. But nope, they had a good plan, smart game. And then today, as we record on Thursday, the day game, the matinee versus Charlie Morton, just weird, kind of weird, tons of strikeouts. I believe Morton struck out 10.
I was going to say double digits.
Yeah, for Morton, that's not even accounting for the relievers. But still, Red Sox put up plenty of runs. They won comfortably. So, weird start to the season. Very much a that's baseball kind of start to the season. But to bring it around, we're heating up as we head into the home opener. And I cannot wait. As you're listening, today is the day. See you at Fenway.
Guys, we're 5 minutes in right now. We buried the lead. What happened to us? This once great podcast. Rafael Devers got a hit, guys. He got several. He got several since the last time we recorded. As of yesterday, so I guess 2 days ago on drop day, he had three hits all over 100 mile per hour exit velo. He's punching the ball opposite field, up the middle, pulling it. He looks good, figures some stuff out. And yeah, dude, I said today on radio that they kind of got screwed that first game in Baltimore. They played a day game in Texas.
Oh, it's not a Mets pod, bro.
Day game in Texas. Hopped on a flight, landed in Baltimore, had a day game in Baltimore. So that's a pretty quick turnaround, two away games, and they looked like it. That first game in Baltimore, which was the last time, you know, we kind of touched base and recorded, came out flat until like that ninth inning. The off day did him well. Boys bounce back. Crochet does what Crochet should do. He stops the bleeding or he extends winning streaks. That's what Crochet is going to do for the next 6 years in Boston. Went out, dealt eight strong, shut out. Campbell's a monster. Sox are back.
Pat, you talk about that off day. It might have been the single best off day in Red Sox history. Like,
oh yeah.
We
That's
talk
through. What a take.
Yeah. Seriously, like actually think about it. I mean, I don't want to say we'd given, because like definitely after the comments he made to Bradfoe, and obviously he knew at the time that this was probably going to get done, but we had an idea that Crochet's deal might get done during the season once he said that it got close. The Campbell thing, I mean, that because we talked a lot about the Crochet thing, like obviously massive for the organization, something that absolutely needed to happen, extends their window. We went all into it. The Campbell thing, I think people may not, because it's becoming more of a trend to do it. I mean, you saw the Padres extend Jackson Merrill just a year into his career. But basically the Campbell extension, in essence, is a pre-debut extension. I mean, yes, he got extended five games into his career, but obviously these discussions were ongoing way before that. And the reason you do it is because you lock him in, you get extra years in the prime of his career. Like he's a 22-year-old rookie, meaning when he hits free agency, he's still going to be in his late 20s. Now the Red Sox got at least two of those years, and if he's good, they'll have team options for two more. So they'll have him through his age 32 season, aka the most important seasons of his career. The 10 probably best seasons of his career are going to be under contract with the Red Sox. So it's becoming more of a trend that teams are doing it, and it's obvious why. Like Christian Campbell, you've seen how good he is. Like imagine when this guy hits his actual prime and he's still under contract for just a $7.5 million average annual value. Like these are the types of deals that extend windows. And to be quite frank, like that time period of shit that we basically just finished, and hopefully it's done, and hopefully the door is shut on that. Like obviously you know, they're 3-4, so like win some games. I guess it's technically maybe not shut yet, but I like to think it's shut. That doesn't happen if they get these types of deals done, low average annual value deals to keep guys like Mookie Betts, Andrew Benintendi, Xander Bogaerts, it's Eduardo Rodriguez, like some of these guys who, yeah, maybe you don't want them under contract for like 10-year free agent deals, but for an additional 4 years after their rookie deal, like Campbell's got, like, yeah, you'd want that. So this is how you prevent that from happening again 5, 6, 7 years from now.
Yeah, and I think the other thing too is like the timing of this Campbell extension is not coincidence. With the new CBA where you get rewarded for kind of getting guys up, winning Rookie of the Year, you get the additional comp pick in the first round. If they agree to an extension before the MLB debut, they do not count toward that kind of rewards program. So him making his debut, getting games in, he can still qualify for that, still get the Red Sox a first round pick if he wins Rookie of the Year. If they did this, you know, 2 weeks ago, kind of when we were down there that last week of spring training, when Crochet talks were, they seemed cold but kind of heating up. If they got Campbell done then, they lose that benefit. Not that they would have kept him down because of it, obviously, but it's just another cherry on top of what is an incredibly team friendly deal for a guy who ideally is, you know, a multi time All Star, your everyday second baseman, and looks every bit of a star right now.
One thing I want to touch on with the Christian Campbell extension, I saw a narrative kind of building throughout the whole Red Sox sphere, if you want to call it a Red Sox sphere, whatever it is. A lot of people are saying, you know, great deal for the Red Sox, of course. I think we all agree, great deal for the Red Sox. But a lot of people are characterizing it as a fleece, meaning a bad deal for Christian Campbell. And I reject that whole premise. I think that, take a step back. This kid, and he is a kid, he's 22. Year ago today was in single A. He was this is a interesting prospect. He's got a weird swing and we don't really know where he's going to play kind of guy. We'll see how he does. Then he's in double A. Oh my God, this kid's cooking. Look at this. The big three might have a big four. Then he's cooking a little bit more and he started, oh my God, maybe we do have a big four. And slowly but surely he climbs up the ranks, makes it a triple A, plays 19 games there, season ends. Then all through camp, we're talking Christian Campbell. You cannot miss this kid. He's unbelievable. He does this. He does that. We don't really know where he's going to play, but this kid is friggin' talented. Then the Red Sox start to show you, we like this kid a lot. We're going to give him every opportunity. We talked about that ad nauseum, how we all felt the Red Sox want Christian Campbell to make the roster. Still, you see guys who have this ascension. Good example would be Scott Kingery, who makes it up to the majors and he's with Philly, right? Same situation. You're thinking, wow, this kid's good. He's going to be really good for a long time. Phillies thought the same way as the Red Sox. They lock him up. Give him a lot of money. I don't remember the number. Big contract for a kid with that little bit of experience. He falls off a cliff. Gone. At the time, people were saying, that's a fleece. Scott Kingery got fleeced. He didn't pan out. He's got life-changing generational wealth for the rest of his life. That is done. Christian Campbell, different situation, but money-wise, he will never have to worry about money ever. He's got $60 million in the bank. So he essentially removed all risk of him falling off a cliff. And no, obviously, we don't think he's going to fall off a cliff, but it's friggin' Major League Baseball. We've seen it happen before. So no, I don't think it's a fleece. I think this is a 22-year-old kid who just made $60 million. He locked himself into a comfortable situation, one where he's been thriving for years in this system. And I just don't like how people are acting as if he got ripped off by the Red Sox. I think it's that's crazy to me. How do you get, you know, and that's different from saying, yeah, this contract will age well. It'll look like a bargain in, what, 5 years from now? Sure, it will. But he's going to also have the opportunity to hit free agency. Gordo, you mentioned the opt-outs as well. He's going to have the opportunity to get to the open market. He's going to be, what, 31,
32?
32 years old. So that's, team options. So he's going to have opportunities to hit the open market. This is not it. And by the way, there's a very good chance that he doesn't play out this entire contract and the Red Sox restructure it. That happens all the time, too. So don't like calling it a fleece. I think that's completely inaccurate. I think Campbell got the security that any 22-year-old kid, 22 years old, he's got $60 million. I think he got great security. He got a lot of money. He can make more later in his career. Everyone should be happy. Red Sox, Campbell, everyone.
Well, the thing I keep thinking about is look at what has to happen for him to get a legitimate payday. Like, let's use a player like Alex Verdugo. I want to use Alex Verdugo, for example. If he wanted to sign an extension with the Red Sox, if they pursued an extension after his first year, let's say 2020, he had a great 2020 in the shortened season. He could have made generational wealth after that season. The two sides, I don't know which side didn't want to do it. It seems maybe like the Red Sox never really approached him much about it, but he didn't get an extension. The guy ends up, you know, despite having a couple of really good years in the major leagues, the last 2 years before his free agency were not very good. And particularly the last one was not good. And he had to settle for it was a major league deal, but it's a 1 year nothing contract. Basically because his last year or two before free agency weren't good. For Christian Campbell to for him to make legitimate money on the free agent market, he has to not only be good for these 6 years, but he has to have a good platform year. And that is so much easier said than done. So many things can happen both mentally and physically with players that prevent them from getting to that point. And like you said, Sammy, this is not a guy who for the last several years has been not just dreaming, but expecting to be a major league star. Like, he was on MLB Network today talking about, you know, even if you're not a highly touted kid, I wasn't a highly touted kid. And like, you just got to keep working hard and the scouts will find you. So just work hard. Like, cause good things happen to me. It can happen to you too. Like, it's not a conventional way he got there. So yeah, I mean, if you ask me, and like, everyone's going to look at the situation differently, but it's like, would you rather have $60 million today or have to make league minimum for 3 years and then fight tooth and nail for every contract year to year until you hit free agency and hopefully you put together 6 good years? Like, some people would try to cash in fully, and like, obviously for a guy like Juan Soto, it works. But like, for me, if I were in this position, yeah, I would take the $60 million today. Like, without even a second thought. And yeah,
I think a lot of the top prospects in Major League Baseball would take $60 million. And I know people are going to say, what about Jackson Chourio? He got $80 million or whatever. And like,
better prospect.
Sure. There's some guys who get more. Yeah, agreed. He was literally number one prospect in the world. Christian Campbell, I think 10th, 7 through 10 in that range.
Yeah.
Very good. But it's different from being the number one guy. Don't you think Jackson Holliday would love to have a $60 million contract right now as he's floundering in Major League Baseball, the former number one prospect?
Wait, so first of all, if you're the Orioles, would you extend him today, Jackson Holliday?
Holliday? No.
I think I would.
It's kind of a tough question. If I'm the Orioles and I have a lot of money and I'm running the team, yeah. But if I know the way they operate, no, I'd rather extend Adley or I'd rather extend Westberg.
That's gonna be a ton of money. Like, with Jackson Holliday, maybe you have an opportunity to get a guy who's... But whatever. I have a question.
It'd be nice not to have to worry about it, like the Red Sox.
I have a question for you. Who would you rather have 10 years and $60 to $100 million committed to right now? If you could pick Christian Campbell to have for the next 10 years or Jackson Holliday to have for the next 10 years. And I know it's very easy to look at how they've performed in their big league careers thus far and say it's obviously Campbell. And it's also really easy to look at just a year ago, Jackson Holliday was seen as one of the top prospects of all time. So,
right.
So it actually is a legitimate question. And I'm trying to like remove my fan goggles to see how I would do it, to see how I would answer it.
Holiday's a year younger, plays a premium spot.
It's hard.
I mean, how could I possibly pick Holiday? It's so hard to, and I know, and I just spoke about, oh yeah, losing four of your first five games, big deal, small sample. And now I'm like, well, have you seen Christian Campbell? That's even just as small of a sample. So fuck, man, that's a good question. I'd go Campbell, not just because of how well he's played in his short stint. Jackson Holliday's struggles have been pretty alarming. I think that has to factor in. No matter what, no matter which way you go with this question, you're putting a lot of trust in a small sample. Yep. So I'll go Campbell, especially if I'm the Red Sox. I think that's a much tougher market to play in than Baltimore. Campbell's already doing well. We saw the media he was getting in Fort Myers. So, I'll go Campbell. That is a tough question.
Pat, what about you, Pat?
I think I would still slightly lean Holiday. I'm just a firm, but like, dude, he was so much more than just like a flash in the pan in the minors. Like, he was so dominant. Small sample size this year, but dude, he looks really good. Through five games, he's got a home run, two ribbies, 316 batting average, and a 142 OPS plus. Not to mention the premium position, the year younger. I think I'd still lean Holiday, but the fact that this is even a conversation just speaks volumes to how good Christian Campbell is. I am over the moon about having Christian Campbell. But if I had to pick, I guess I'd lean Holiday for now. Ask me at the end of the year and I'd have a better idea. But
yeah, I mean, you think to a year ago. I mean, obviously Jackson Holiday a year ago was all the rage. Everyone thought he should make the Orioles. The Orioles sent him down. Turns out they were probably right. Definitely right. And Christian Campbell wasn't even in the Red Sox top 25 to 30 prospects. And here we are debating the two. And I think right now I lean Campbell just because both of them have ridiculous ceilings, but Campbell's floor seems right now like it's right there, if not better than Holiday's, because Holiday has shown struggles and Campbell, you know, at the professional level has not. And he's just a different guy than he was when he was drafted. But I'll tell you, the one thing that really pushes me over the edge for Campbell is that he doesn't like calling his teammates teammates. He calls them his friends.
And you love that.
I'm sorry. I fucking love that so much. I love that so much. He's the wholesome king of the Red Sox. Like, we're going to have this guy calling all these guys for years. Like, how cool is that? That's great. Like,
how cool is that?
Hey, come on now.
I wonder what he's going to be like when he's 28, Christian Campbell. Because right now he's got that, like, you know, innocence, like boyish charm where he's like, hey, I'm just a kid in Major League Baseball. I'm taking it day by day. But what happens when he's like a fucking grizzled veteran and he's hitting 35 tanks a year and he's like, I've been there and I've done that and I'm Christian Campbell and I have a beard now and I'm scary and I'm yoked. I'm not wiry anymore. I'm yoked. What will he be like?
The literal definition of happy-go-lucky is 2025 Christian Campbell. Like, that is the only way you could describe that man.
And he's like shy too. It's like he's quiet, but he's just happy to be here. And it's like, usually people that are just happy to be here don't strive for more and aren't ambitious. Like, he's really, really happy to be here and has an appreciation for where he is. But at the same time, it's like, he's so eager to learn and to be better than he is. And it's just such a weird combo. You don't see it.
You know what he is? He's an addict. He's like a baseball addict. And like Bradford was telling us, he kept saying like, I'm learning this, I'm learning that. And he's just like addicted to getting better at baseball. So it's so cool to like how much more public the Red Sox are nowadays compared to like when Pedroia was a rookie in 2006 and 2007. It's so much more like, you get so much more behind the scenes and, it's just really cool to see his development. I know it's super early, kind of sort. I mean, we saw him fly through the minors. I mean, that's a big part of the development. But just fascinating. I can't even fathom to think what he's going to be like and where he's going to be at in 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. Well, what I'll tell you, though, is it's been awesome. Like, his at-bats by game two of the season became must-watch. Like, every time he's up, you stop what you're doing and you make sure that you watch. And it's one of those things, like, usually guys will do some really cool things. Like, they'll hit a couple homers in a couple days. And then as soon as you realize they're hot and you start watching for it, they stop, they cool down, like right when you think about it. But with Campbell, it's like he hit that homer and that double in, he hit the home run. And yeah, it was the day before the DeGrom game. And You're just, okay, now I'm going to think about it. Now I'm going to think about every time he's up. The next day against DeGrom, he hits the double down the line. It's okay, now I'm really thinking about it. Has a good game in the first game, drives in a run at least. And then in the third game today, It's like, okay, now he's really must watch. And he blasts that ball, pull side, drives it, gets out so fast. Like, Sam, you talk about him filling out and not being wired. Like, he hits the ball insanely hard now. Like, wait till he gets, because he's going to get stronger.
You know what Lou said?
He looks like
Lou
said something. Jason Tatum right now. You know, like,
you know what Lou said on the broadcast? On the broadcast today, Thursday, as we're recording, Lou brought up a great point. He said that Campbell hits the ball to the opposite field with the same authority that, like, Devers pulls the ball. You know what I mean? Like, he can hit it oppo as if he's a lefty pulling the ball. It's unbelievable. And yeah, he's wiry. He's like, he's got a long neck like me. He's part tall. Of the long neck gang. Look, a long neck.
I think the coolest thing with Christian too, honestly, is he's built like the Casases and the Sotos. He has such a mature eye for a kid.
Yeah, like, big time.
He had that one chase in Texas in the dirt late in the game in a full count. He's had one or two swings that are kind of like in on the hands that he chases a bit. But aside from, you know, like three or four pitches, I can't think of any other like big chases that he's had. And the other thing too is, dude, there's a reason that the bat is flying out of his hands every other at bat. He swings so hard through the zone, and he's in the zone for so long. Like, if it's in his bat path, whether he's early or late, he's going to touch it. Like, it's those two things you can't teach. And then on top of that, great kid. And man, he's here for a decade. That's exciting.
Last thing, real quick. Another note from the day, from the Thursday matinee. You guys see Charlie Morton buckle him with that curveball early on in the game?
Yeah.
And then he quickly adjusts and hits a friggin' laser beam home run right after. Like,
crazy.
That's like a veteran. I don't even know what to say. It's unbelievable. Great kid.
And he calls his teammates, he doesn't call them his teammates, he calls them his friends.
What? Why haven't you mentioned this?
It's so awesome. I love that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
But it's crazy. Like, even when they were losing games, like, obviously no one was hitting for shit, but Christian Campbell and Willier. And it's like, okay, like, this kid is holding the roster afloat. What I will say is, and there's been two games since we last recorded, and the offense has flipped this. I mean, I know they only scored 3 runs in the second game, but there was obviously a lot more going on there. I mean, Trevor Story, 3 hits, including a bomb, and I believe a double in there too. It's just so funny when Story hits the ball well, pay attention for it. Like, he hits the ball and then he's like, bing! You know what I mean? Oh, like,
yeah,
like with the bat, bing! He like hits it well, bing!
It's like there's like a coil in his hand and it only activates when he ropes the ball. Bing!
Yeah.
Bing!
Bing!
Bing! Last night.
Ding-a-ching!
Boink! All right. What, Pat?
Last night, you could tell Trevor was feeling himself. I was cracking up because he had a great game last night. Last night on drop day being Wednesday night, 3 for 4. You could tell he was feeling it when he tried to stretch that into a double. Dude, that wasn't even close. And I was just cracking up. But, you know, when Trevor's on, he's like one of the more exciting players to watch when he's like on a hot streak. Because he's literally an infield Jaren Duran. Like, he's just so dynamic. He does everything really well when the bat's going. He's so exciting to watch. But no, I literally like out loud laughed when I saw him peel around first and the throw was already coming into second base.
Yeah.
He let himself. Yeah, he's like, come on. I got, dang, never mind.
Story is going to be such an interesting watch this year just because, like, obviously it's pretty clear that with Roman Anthony playing left field, like when he comes up, obviously Jaren's not going to the bench. It'll be Jaren Duran going to center and Rafaela probably to the bench, or we'll see, or to a utility role. I don't know. Obviously injuries can change that. So it's like pretty clear what the direction is with Roman whenever they want to call him up. With Marcelo, I think people have prematurely but correctly connected it to Story's performance, and certainly before his big game. Like, Marcelo, two straight games of the bomb, including a left-on-left blast. Like, he crushed that ball off a lefty for his first AAA homer. He looks so comfortable. And it's like, okay, when this guy gets called up, and obviously, again, injuries are probably going to make some of these decisions for them, but people are going to, like, obviously, Devers is the DH, Bregman's the third baseman, Campbell's the second baseman, Costas is the first baseman, and then you have Story at short, where when he struggles. And I was getting tons of tweet replies about Meyer should come up and replace Story. And I'm not saying that long term, I do think that that's the solution. It's just a matter of, is that in the off season, or is it in August, or is it like in April, like these people are saying it should be? Like, obviously you got a glimpse of, you know, the last couple games where it's like, okay, no. Story should have ample opportunity, you know, especially, you know, he looks, honestly, just like the peripherals, you know, bat speed is better. His throwing, the velocity on his throws is better. Like, he looks pretty comfortable out there. I know he still chases, and that's going to be something that needs to be ironed out. But it will be interesting to watch Meyer's performance, because every time he hits a home run, there's going to be people saying, call him up. And every time there's people saying, call him up, the next question is going to be, okay, for what? And
yeah,
like, unless Story performs, like, he's going to be the answer to those questions. So it was really good to see him, you know, play with some confidence and have such a good game in that second game. You know, obviously we saw guys like Bregman, Costas, Devers have good games in the third game, but, and Devers in the second game too. But those guys' jobs, like, there's no superstar prospect barking down their trees. For Story, it feels like a little bit more urgent, so it was good to see it.
I'm trying to think, like, this is going to sound derogatory, but how do you get rid of him if Marcelo Meyer, you know, forces his way up?
Platoon? Like, because Marcelo has had platoon
splits. Can do that.
Splits. He's had tough platoon splits in the minor leagues. I agree. Like, Story is not a bench player. But if you wanted to call up Marcelo and play him at shortstop, like, who else are you? Like, you don't, there's no one else to bench. And, like, again, this conversation's premature.
Yeah, someone would have to go. I'm looking
Pat,
at the...
What is Pat saying? Pat, what are you saying here? What's the look?
I'm saying what I've been saying for quite a while now. I think when Marcelo's ready, Christian Campbell goes to left field.
But then where's... Okay, but Pat, in your lineup that you tweet out, you didn't have Willier Abreu in there. And, like, what? You can't not play Willier.
Traded.
Killed?
Murdered?
Killed? Taken off in the golf cart behind...
No, not the golf cart.
And, like, I don't know. Like, you have to... I'm not... Willier Abreu is a very good player. He won a Gold Glove last year as a rookie. Offensively, he's drawing walks like nobody's business. He's putting the bat on the ball.
Against lefties.
That was more of like lefties. Yeah. And that was more of like a forecasting of a Willier like water finding level kind of thing. But if he's productive, like a smidge more than he was last year and he's still playing good defense, then yeah, that's when you're getting into the where's Story going conversation. So Willier not in the lineup was more forecasting him, not falling off, but like finding his, you know, average.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, but and that's again not a knock on Willier. I love Willier. He is so fun to watch when he's hot. Great defender, great eye this year. He's hitting lefties. But yeah, like I said, if he's producing, then that's when you get into the Marcelo's has to come up. Where's he going? The answer is shortstop.
The truth here is that the best players are going to play. So like we're sitting here guessing guys are going to like because if Willier plays like the first. You know, 5-6 games of this season, Willier, obviously he's not getting benched. And if Trevor Story plays for the entire year, like he played before that big game, obviously it's going to be him. If Trevor Story plays like the way he did the last couple games, then obviously Story as one of the leaders of this team playing well, he's not going anywhere. So it's going to be determined, like injuries are going to make this call. And if not, performance will make the call. Personally, for me, I think the Roman Anthony call will come sooner just because, I mean, just generally what we've seen.
It's an easier puzzle. Yeah, it's an easier puzzle.
I mean, what we've seen, and I get that Rafael is a righty, but I mean, it's Roman Anthony or Rafael. It's, I mean, come on.
What do they do with Yoshida? I kind of forgot about Yoshida.
It's over. It's over. No, seriously, it is. If Christian Campbell playing well and Devers definitely not playing any third base. That's that. It's curtains.
So where does he go? You think they DFA him? You think they move him?
I think where this goes, and this is just my guess right now. I'm curious your guys' guesses too. But if I had to, I was just having this conversation yesterday. If I had to put a guess on it today, I would say the Red Sox eat a shit ton of that contract and trade him and get a prospect that is not worth a lick. It's basically the equivalent to a DFA, and maybe it's even they DFA him first and then still work out that agreement after. Yeah. Maybe it's something like that, but they're not. They've already eliminated the possibility of getting value for him because there's nowhere for him to play.
He's got magic injuries that just generate. I don't know. It stinks because I still believe Yoshida could be a productive major league player. He just, like we've said a million times before, he doesn't do enough. So, to redirect the convo to Yoshida, but
I'm just having a horrible, horrible vision where everything for Yoshida, everything works out. Everybody's playing great. There's no room for Masataka Yoshida. There's no room for the Macho Man. So then Craig gets on the phone. Hey, Peter Bendick's down in Miami. You're right near the salary floor. You want a superstar you can market? We'll eat 60% of his contract. And poor Masataka Yoshida and his big, beautiful bleached teeth are wearing his big sunglasses on a yacht down in Miami, just living the life.
You know, that'd be good. I'd be happy for him. And that Marlins team, you know, obviously they're not going to be good this year, but they've got some young talent. They've been exciting so far, and he gets to live in Miami. Gordo's dream, living in friggin' Florida. So, yeah.
It is a dream.
I wish, yeah. Great calves. Good calf muscles.
Yep. Yep.
Good teeth. Good aura.
Can we glaze Crochet a little bit?
Oh. Oh. Jeez. Yeah. Sorry, the pace at which you said that. Yeah, we can glaze Crochet if you'd like.
Yeah, I mean, he's really good. He's really good. How great did that feel? Like how many? I was thinking about it because like he threw 8 shutout innings, and like I was definitely really happy about it, and like it felt great, and I was excited, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm just so happy to have this guy. But I just think like a year ago, if any starter on the Red Sox threw 8 shutout, we like it would be all we're talking about because oh my fucking God, like Brian Bale went 8 shutout. Holy fucking
shit. You
know
shit. Who it would
oh
be?
God.
You know who it would be? It would be friggin' Nick Pivetta against like the A's or something. Yeah. And we talk ourselves into like, this, you know what? Maybe he figured it out. Like he just did this with the Padres too. He had a great start and everyone's like, hey, maybe he figured it out.
It would lead the show. We are in minute 35 and we hadn't talked about it yet because it's just like this is just what we expect from him.
The past 5 years, the equivalent of what Crochet just did was Tropicana Nick Pivetta. That dude dealt in Tampa Bay. He would always strike out 11 over 7 shutouts, something crazy. And people would be like, it would be this huge deal. We would have led the show with it, Gordo, like you said. Oh my God, Nick Pivetta. Has he turned a corner? They need to extend him. He's an ace. No, this is fucking another day at the office for Garrett Crochet. Get to know it. Get to love it. This is another day of business. That's what he does. Love it. It's here for just 6 more years.
It's so funny because like I watched a lot of Garrett Crochet last year just because I had him on my fantasy team and I was fascinated by the fact that this reliever just like turned into this dominant starter. And like he threw 8 shut. It wasn't as like I've seen him more dominant than this. And he threw 8 shut against, and I know they don't have Gunnar Henderson, but also it was a lefty. He threw 8 shut against one of the best offenses in baseball. And it wasn't even his best shit. Like,
yeah,
it has a chance to get from maybe not a results standpoint, because like 8 scoreless is 8 scoreless. The only way to go up from that is 9 scoreless. But from a process and like how you got there and how it looked, it has a chance to get even better. And I was looking ahead at the schedule. You know who he's facing in 2 starts?
Oh my God, please say like Colorado.
Toronto?
That's in 1 start. His next start will be
in
Toronto.
White Sox.
Garrett Crochet against that lineup in a revenge game kind of environment where he's going to like, who goes into a start against the White Sox like with added motivation? Like, he might strike out 30 and there's 27 outs in the game. Like,
0-0 in extras. He's still, yeah, man. I mean, just great to see. You know what it felt like last night? Sorry, bad habit I have of saying last night. Wednesday night, because we are recording on Thursday. Sorry, listeners. You know what it felt like on Wednesday night? It felt like Cora and Crochet's agent and Bailey, everyone around him were like, all right, we are officially, entirely taking off the training wheels. Go do your thing. And he just let it eat. He was, and like you said, Gordo, not even his best stuff. That was very good, but not great Crochet. And he still went 8 shut. Struck out 8 over 8 innings. His strikeout rate is over 13. So that would be a 9/9 strikeout rate. So I wouldn't go as far as saying not even close to his best stuff, but his best stuff is, you'll notice it. We'll see it at some point multiple times this year. And it's scary. It is really scary. And one thing I noticed, he went to that changeup way more in the start against Baltimore. And when that changeup, he called it his get-right pitch today, Wednesday. Yep. I did it again. Thursday, as we record, he called it his get-right pitch. When he's not feeling right, he goes to the changeup and was working on Wednesday night. So just a pleasure to watch. And watching it without the added anxiety as a fan, without the added anxiety of like, oh, what if he hits the open market? What if they don't extend? What if they trade him? Imagine that. So much better. So, yeah, couldn't be happier. My white whale.
The other thing, too, is like Crochet right now, we have not felt this way about a pitcher with so much certainty than like 2017 to 19 Chris Sale. Like, that's just what it is. Like, he is that good. Like, I get the track records one season, who that was very good, cut short by an innings limit. It is that good. Like, his first start, he's probably 60%. And he was still very effective against a good Rangers lineup. 5 innings, 2 earned. Had some, I forget how many strikeouts. I think it was 4 or 5. Next game against Baltimore, another co-favorite in the American League. Probably, 85% of his best? 8 over 8 shutout innings?
Yeah.
Like, his 100% is like what Sale did to Colorado in 19. Like, he has that ceiling to go and strike out legitimately like 16 to 18 guys when he's on. We haven't even seen it yet. He's nasty.
And by the way, exciting. How much better is he with that great defense behind him, that great infield defense? And not to you know, dump on Rafael Devers too much, but there were two or three plays that Wednesday night game where I was thinking, I don't know if they turn that double player, or that might get thrown into the 10th row or something like that. Yeah. So just saying, having Bregman out there, Campbell at second is really nice too. Story, we know how good Story is. I think Costas is going to be a good first baseman defensively. He's so big. He's a big target, at least. I love the infield defense. Another thing, as a fan, just not having that anxiety of Kike Hernandez at short or Rafi at third, shit like that. Beautiful.
The double play on Wednesday when Bregman was playing in for a potential bunt, quick one hopper, backhand stab, just jump, pivot, turn the double play. Like, you know, they're not making that play any of the last like 6 years.
No.
The other thing, last thing, Gordon's
gonna die on this hill.
Oh, yeah. Come on, he made like no errors last year. So he's fine.
Last thing on Crochet, I think his cutter is like a top five pitch in baseball. That thing having that much horizontal break coming in at like mid to high 90s, moving like a slider, is insane, dude. And then he also has the changeup, the sinker, and the sweeper to go with it. He could throw his fastball and cutter and throw like five shot with like five strikeouts. His repertoire is insane, dude. It's so good.
Last thing on Crochet. The eight innings thing. So it's the first time he's gone eight innings since college. And, you know, a lot of people keep talking. And like, even now that he's extended, you'll still hear people be like, he's unproven. So like, that may be a detractor. Like, oh my God, like this could go badly because he's unproven. To me, you see the stuff. You've seen it late in games too, and you've seen it up to 150 innings. I want the guy who hasn't gone eight innings a ton. I want the guy who doesn't have wear and tear on that arm. Like, everyone's like, you know what you're getting in Burns and Freed if you'd sign. No, you don't. You see it all the time, especially with pitchers. These guys sign in their 30s and then their arms wear down. They lose velocity. So sometimes they get hurt. Like, they're just not the same guys as they were in the first 6 years of their career leading up to that. With Crochet, this is who you like. His arm is fresh. It's ready to go for hopefully more than the 6 years with the Red. Like, he's not going to wear down in these 6 years. Maybe he'll get hurt. Like, Tommy John can happen at any time, but it's not like he's going to like lose velocity and wear down because there's just not a lot of mileage there. So like, this is the first eight inning start of hopefully several that we're going to see for this guy. And then on the other end of that, on the third game of the series was Tanner Houck, who, I mean, obviously the last spring training game is an easy barometer to improve upon. Like, what was it, 10 runs or was it 12? Something. It was 10, 11, 12
I think
runs.
It was 11. I think it was 11.
So
quite a few.
Yeah. So the first start of the season was five and two thirds, four runs, but it didn't look. I honestly thought he might have even looked better in the second start. They didn't fuck around. They yanked him quickly before the meat of the order could see him a third time. We're kind of back there with Houck right now. I'm just like, before we get to Nuff said, where are you at with Houck? Because for me, I truly am sitting here thinking it could go either which way. I don't think he's going to be the guy that he was in the first half last year, but I wouldn't be surprised if he falls somewhere in the middle of first half and second half. But I also wouldn't be surprised if it completely fell off the wagon and he's just not the same dude for a while.
Yeah. So the first start against Texas, he did not have his stuff at all. Like, the sweeper wasn't sweeping, the splitter didn't look great, fastball was pretty normal, but just didn't look good and didn't have his command either. That was just a bad start, but he limited the damage, so you know,
he pitched
worse.
He pitched. It's like the stuff wasn't great, but he pitched, and which is not necessarily a bad thing, but I mean, obviously you want to see him with the stuff that he had in the first half.
Right. Then Thursday versus Baltimore, his sweeper was sweeping and the splitter looked fucking great. It was just the command. So, kind of a lame non-answer. I agree with you, Gordo. Could go either way. But it is good to see his pitches moving like they did in the first half last year. It's just a matter of command. And his delivery has a lot of moving parts, and he's a lanky guy. So my guess, I'm not a professional, but, you know, I pitched a little bit. Might be a tough delivery to repeat. So if he's able to just bolster the command a little bit, I think he could be an effective, like, number three starter. I don't think he's going to be an ace like we saw in the first half of 2024. That was just an absurdly large leap for him to take. Like I've said before, my thing for him, I would like to see him do it again. And even if he took a slight step back but was still a good Major League Baseball caliber starting pitcher, I'd be fine with that. So I will give you an answer. I'm not super, super worried about Hauk. I think he'll bounce back. He's got some easier matchups coming up. But, you know, I think if people are expecting that all-star caliber pitcher we saw in 2024 for the first half, I think they're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, I think the good thing with Tanner this year is the pressure's kind of off him, right? Like, he was kind of the de facto ace last year, had to do the heavy lifting for the staff. Now that Crochet's here, there's not as much pressure on him to be kind of that all-star, produce, all this. But I agree, Gordo. I don't think anyone expects him to get back to what he was in the first half. I believe he went into the break at like a 2.1 ERA. He was striking out the world. I don't think he'll be able to replicate that. But I also don't think the wheels are going to completely fall off and he's going to revert back to, you know, 2022 Crochet or Hauk. I think all they really need from him, and I think it's what happens, is an ERA 3.8-4 in just log innings. Like, if he ends the year throwing 160, 165 plus, and he gives you a 3.8-4 ERA, that's great. That's all you need. Because ideally, one of, if not both, Buehler and Giolito are kind of bounce back candidates. They're kind of right in the same ERA range. So you have, you know, two really good guys at 2 and 3. And then Bayo, you just hope he takes a step forward. Like, the staff's in a really good spot where they don't need
Tanner. That's it. They need someone to be a two, but it doesn't have to be Hauk. There's a few guys that could do it.
Yeah, either they need someone to be a two, or they can have three guys be a three, which is not a bad thing now that you have an ace. So it's more so the quality and the quantity, more so than it is defined roles. And I'm fairly confident that one of Buehler, Giolito, and Bayo takes a big step forward or a big bounce back and slides in between Hauk and Crochet, or is neck and neck with Hauk. And that's all you need, because the depth is so good. The offense can carry you. The bullpen so far has looked really good. But yeah, I think he kind of finds like that midpoint between first and second half last year, 3.8-4. That's my guess.
Yeah. I mean, also one thing that's worth noting is I thought he did. I mean, they didn't trust him to do much in the third time through. But I thought he looked okay today, and obviously the stats don't really show it. I thought he looked okay, and it was against the lineup that the Orioles against right-handed pitching, and Hauk, who's definitely had his struggles against left-handed hitting. Like, it'll be interesting to see when he faces lineups that maybe can't go to as many lefties. So we'll go to enough said. Last thing before that, though, shout out Sox bullpen, best bullpen ERA in the American League. And specifically, I want to give a shout out to Justin Wilson, who none of us had any freaking idea what he would do. And we had no idea really what the Red Sox were doing when they signed him coming off a not good year. And he's older. But his shit looks great. He's a lefty, and he struck out Tyler O'Neill with, I believe, 3 swing and misses off a guy who crushes lefties. So that's a guy to keep an eye on. If he's a guy that you can trust, particularly throwing from the left side, it makes it a lot easier to have Chapman be your closer. So keep an eye on Justin Wilson. 3 straight good outings. He's only allowed 1 base runner, hit on a ground ball down the third baseline. So I've been.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views, the cool waterfall mist during a hot hike, and the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Impressed. Enough said. I'll go first on enough said. Sammy and I went to L.L. Bean today for a Baseball's and Boring sponsored event. The people there are so nice. The people at L.L. Bean were great to us, really gracious, really kind. They gifted us these tote bags, and they are made with tarp that has literally been that covered the Fenway Park field. And very cool, very nice of them. Here's the picture. Very cool. That was literally tarp. That was, and I should stop saying literally because I got to get better about that. But it was on the Fenway field, and now it's a bag in my apartment. So shout out to them. They were super nice. The event was great. We did a live show. You can find it on the Baseballs and Boring feed. So shout out to the people at L.L. Bean for that, and awesome to have them as a Baseballs and Boring sponsor.
Also shout out the Little Words Project for decking out our tote bags with all these like chains and this giant clothespin right here. A lot of cool stuff. Little baseball thing. Very cool. I wish we had two more for Pat and for Joe, but unfortunately we don't. And only Gordo and I have them. So Pat and Joe are probably pretty jealous. Again, I feel terrible, but only Gordo and I have these two bags. Not Pat and Joe, to be
specifically
clear.
Not Pat and Joe. They don't.
Yeah, but Gordo and I do have them.
We do.
Pat, correct?
Yeah.
Bing!
Okay. my enough said. So, my hot take in our season preview was that Carlos Narvaez is going to take over as the starting catcher.
I don't roll my eyes at you saying that. I just know where you're going with this.
Hold on. I think Carlos Narvaez, with his good defense, and, you know, he's two hits, two games. I think he's going to take over at catcher. Want to get your guys, other than Gordo, want to get your takes.
Your takes other nickname. Than Gordo.
Other than Gordo. I don't really care what that guy has to say about this. What do you guys think? And Joe, I want to hear what you think. If we called Carlos Narvaez the Narv.
I hate it so much. I know you don't want to hear my take. I hate it. It sounds like you're choking.
I hate to agree with Gordo and knock you down, Sammy, but yes, that's not a good nickname.
Pat, come on. Come on, Pat.
I think that nickname is weapons grade stupid.
We're going to run with it. It's the Narv, baby. The Narv.
Sammy, it sounds like you've got like your Adam's apple is like lodged in your throat. Narv.
No, it sounds like, I don't know. It sounds like a slug. And it's like,
there was a cartoon who had like
annoyed
something like that, or
you're thinking annoyed
like
annoyed
or yeah. something like that
annoyed. Right?
No, you're thinking of something else. He made a noise. I don't even have a clue on that one.
Why would you just call him Karnar?
Nah, it's too. It's,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right. Because Narv is so sick, dude.
No,
idiot.
The Narv.
Karnarv. I don't hate it.
It's better than the Narv, dude.
It is better.
It's the Narv. It's the.
He has to be good to get the nickname. I feel. I don't know. He could become one of those mythical creatures who's like not that good, but we all just love.
You know what, Pat? I kind of like Karnar. What is it? Karnar or Karnarv?
Karnar.
I think Karnar sounds better.
If you say it like a total Chad, it kind of sounds good. Like, let's go, Karnar. But no, it's the Narv.
It is not the Narv. That nickname sucks. Did you look on his baseball reference? Does he have a nickname listed?
Yeah, it says the Narv.
No, it does not, dude.
There's no way that this guy has a nickname listed. I'll look it up. Pat, you want to? Pat, you can do your enough said.
No nickname.
No, he doesn't. I just looked too. All right. Anyway, this is gonna go. Maybe not. Sammy maybe knows. Gordo, I'd be willing to bet this goes over your head. Rest in peace, the legend Val Kilmer.
Oh, I saw this, but yeah, I didn't know who he was, but I saw a lot of people posting about it.
Yeah,
saw it on your Instagram story.
Yeah, Val Kilmer, GOAT, Tombstone, banger. The Doors, banger. Heat, banger. Batman Forever, kind of a dog shit movie, but it was my favorite as a kid, banger. Top Gun. How did I forget Top Gun? Banger.
You were thinking about the Narv.
Yeah, I was not thinking about the Narv, dude. If he says that one more time, mute his microphone. This is my enough said. Anyways.
His face is red.
Val Kilmer, rest in peace, my legend.
Rest in peace.
He was sick a while. And then he has a really good documentary on Prime for anybody who's a fan of Val Kilmer. Kind of like just followed him throughout his career and then like what he's been up to since and all that. But yeah, rip Val, dude.
Rest in peace. On that note, that's going to do it for episode, 194 of Playtesi. Before we wrap, I guess this is a quick Nuff Said of Nuff Said. Shout out to the Red Sox social team for using Crochet's quotes from his Playtesi debut in their Crochet extension announcement video. That was super cool. Did not notice it. Pat had to text it in the group chat like, listen back. So shout out Dr. P.
Oh, dude, that blew my mind. I was at work, saw that video, like blind retweeted, whatever. 8 hours later, I finally got to listen to it. You buffoons had no idea that was our audio.
And I heard it.
Yo, I'm not going to lie. I didn't even watch it. I was like, oh, Crochet hype video. Cool. I've watched so much Crochet shit. I was like, I don't need to watch more. There's certainly not going to be a quote from our interview in it. Lesson learned. I'll never miss another Red Sox hype video.
Nope. I watched the Campbell one fully knowing that we haven't had an interview with Christian Campbell yet. Somehow, like, and there wasn't really much of anything. There was like, it was just his highlights. There wasn't like quotes or anything. But yeah. No, shout out to them. Because they use some good shit. You know, that podcast is pretty good that they took that from. So shout out them. Shout out Sox Social.
Maybe they make one about.
Don't mute him. Mute him. Yep. Thank you, Joe.
Wow.
Continue, Gordo.
I'm unmuted now. what I was going to say is maybe they make one about Richard Fitz.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Or the Narv.
No. Okay. That's going to do it for episode 194 of Playtesi. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Find us on YouTube on WEI's channel. Got the Playtesi playlist there. Has all of our videos. Subscribe to WEI. Hit the thumbs up on our videos. Find us on the socials at Playtesi on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. For Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it's Gordo here for episode 194 of Playtesi. We'll be back in your ears on Monday, or you can catch us on Saturday. I believe we're going to be on the radio probably from like 1 to 3. So check that out too. But till next time we're with you guys, thanks for tuning into this one. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.